35th Psalm this morning. Psalms 135. Now I'm going to read the first 14 verses of this psalm. And so if you have a pew Bible next to you, it might be a good time to read along. I sort of believe that the Lord sets the stage of where our minds are better than I can, just summarizing some of them. So we're just gonna read them. The Scripture says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God." Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all the deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of His treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. Who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt. Upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for an heritage and heritage unto Israel, his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. I believe it to be true that those of us that have gathered ourselves in prayer this morning come from our homes or from wherever we made our abode last night and made our passage to Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, that we came here with the intentions, I pray, to praise the Lord. As I mentioned whenever I stood before you, that we've come here, and I've made mention often that our goal as we gather here at the house of the Lord is to honor, praise, and glorify the Lord. You know, in a way, I know I use those three terms separately, but in a way, when we honor and glorify the Lord, we praise the Lord. And there's another word that you could add to describe praise, it would be thanks. And so whenever we gather here, we honor, glorify, and thank the Lord for what He's done for us. You know, the Lord would not have been unjust. He would not have been in violation of any character of Himself if He would have told us to praise Him and to do it just for the simple reason that He's told us to do it. You know, He's not bound to tell us why that He tells us things. But we serve a Lord that, because He loves and He cares so much for us, that He not only tells us to do, He tells us why we do it. And the psalmist David here in the 135th Psalm tells us, those of us that I believe that describe the very beings that are at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church this morning, the very people that have gathered here, it doesn't mean that we're the only ones. Praise be unto the Lord that we do not believe that we're the only ones doing it, but nevertheless, I believe with every ounce of my being that we are ones that are doing it. Ones that describe themselves like the psalmist David has here in the first two verses. Ones that describe ourselves as being servants of the Lord. Those that are standing in the house of the Lord. And that those that are within the courts of the Lord. In other words, those that meet those three classifications. He's told us to praise Him, and He's given us reasons why we praise the Lord. He's not only told us to do it. He's given us reasons why our Lord is worthy of praise. And if there's ever been one that's worthy of any praise, it's certainly not man. It's certainly not us giving it to one another. And it doesn't mean that we don't do things that deserve encouragement, and that we tell people that we encourage them in their walk with the Lord and telling them that they're doing right and congratulate them when they've done well. But nevertheless, the word, the glorification and the thanksgiving that is due to God can never be substituted by that which we could give to one another. It belongs to God and to God alone. And one of the reasons why that the psalmist David tells us that the Lord is worthy of our praise is because He's good. It says in verse 4 verse 3, it says, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good." Now I'm going to tell you, that's a general definition of our Lord. I know it is. It's a general description of our Lord, of a reason why we should praise our Lord is because He's good. But does it not match the description of our Heavenly Father? Is that our Lord is good, that He's good not only in His nature, that He's good to us. Our Lord is good. You know, if you'll remember, the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the words, you know, I use this terminology so that you'll understand where I'm coming from, but the words written in red over in the New Testament, He tells us in Matthew chapter 19, when that rich young ruler came and asked Him, "What good thing shall I do that I may have everlasting life. You know, the scripture tells us that the Lord answers his question with another question. And he says, why callest thou me good? There is none good save one, and that is God. There is none good save one, that is God. And you say, does that mean that Jesus Christ was saying that he was not good? No, that's not at all what he was saying whenever he answered that rich young ruler. What he's trying to do is to make that rich young ruler indeed see that he was God, that he was the one that was good, so that he would describe himself as being good. Our Savior is good. He's good to us. I tell you, there's not one of us, I don't think, that gather here today that cannot look back on our life and that cannot see the Lord's providential hand at times in our life, and that we look back and that we see the goodness of our Lord and see just how good he's been to us. Our Lord is good. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. You know, if you had to come up with a word this morning, if somebody came to you and said, give me one word that describes how the Lord has been to you, What would be your description of it? You know, I thought this morning as hymn number 262 was called out, that as this message was on my mind as we traveled across here this morning. We've been over it. We've been with the family this weekend over it at Lake Lanier Islands over at the water park. And we stayed there last night, so you can imagine what kind of morning we've had getting packed up and getting across town. I told the kids whenever we left out that this is the way that we used to do whenever I first became the pastor at Macedonia. We loaded up from Gwinnett County on Sunday mornings, and here we'd come across town. Praise be to the Lord that we don't have to do that every Sunday anymore. But nevertheless, I thought all the way over here, I thought about how this verse, the psalmist David said, praise ye the Lord, for he is good. About how good the Lord has been to me. You know, whenever you think of the things that God has given you, and has given, you know, every time I look in my rearview mirror, the thought comes to my mind about how good the Lord has been to me. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. He's done good things for us. You know, the Lord has been so good to me. I want to sing his praise, is what the psalmist, or excuse me, what the hymn writer said. And I want to tell you, it never ceases to amaze me the spiritual nature of some of these people that wrote, or the spiritual ways of some of these people that wrote these hymns. Can you, if you were charged with the task today and said that in order for you to sing any songs, or excuse me, let's just not say in order for you to sing any songs, what if some of you had the task on your table today to write a hymn? Boy, I tell you what, that'd be a task to do. I don't know about you, but my day's pretty full. You know, I've got enough to do as it is of things I've got to get done, much less the extra things that I could do to express my feelings towards my Lord and towards what he's done to me. But look at what that hymn writer said, is that the Lord has been so good to me. And I tell you, the same way, the same Lord that's been good to you in the past is the same Lord that's in heaven today. And he's the same Lord that's going to be good to you from this point forward. We serve a good, good God in heaven. We serve one. And he's worthy of our praise for his goodness. You know, I tell you what the scripture says about man. You know, if we're ever bound to cross up whether or not man belongs in that spot of the Lord, is that scripture describes man in the opposite way. There is, if you'll remember what the Apostle Paul said in the third chapter of the book of Romans, he says, there is none good. There is none good, no, not one. But yet he describes our Lord as being one that is good. You know, you think of the things that the Lord has left here in place for us that are still there for our well-being and for our good. You think of the intervention that the Lord does on a daily basis as the great physician in healing those that are sick and taking care of those that are in trials, in the midst of trials and temptations here in this world. Every single time that we see the ones delivered out of such circumstances, make no mistake about it, even though man's hand may be involved, it is because the goodness of the Lord that they have been delivered. You know, go with me over to James chapter 5 briefly. Hold our spot here because I'm going to come back. I've got three more to go through after this one of reasons why we praise the Lord. But if you go over to James chapter 5, in a verse of scripture that we make mention of often in the power of prayer, the scripture tells us that what to do in the event that we've got any that are sick among us. It says in verse 14, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up." You know, whenever we tell people that there's power in the prayers, and believe you me, if there's ever a series of verses that show us the power that is in prayer, here they are right here, of James telling us the power that is in prayer unto God, of the things that can be accomplished through the power of prayer. He goes on to tell us, remember about Elijah, "For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. For Elijah prayed that it would not rain, and it rained not for 3 years and 6 months through the power of prayer." But look and see who's the one that we're dependent upon whenever we pray in order to grant that which is necessary. The Scripture says that the prayer of the faith, prayer of faith, shall save the sick. But it says the Lord shall raise him up. It's not your prayers that raise him up. It's the Lord that raises him up. Through your prayer and your beckoning call unto the Lord, it is the Lord that raises him up. Praise ye the Lord, for He is good. You know, one of the things that we do, and I'm thankful that we do it, is that whenever we have somebody in need, that is our family member, that is our church member, that is in any way related to anybody in this church, I pray that at any point in time that anybody have somebody heavy on their heart, that they would make mention of that one that stands in need of them. Because it's worthy for us to pray for. I'm thankful that at times that people that don't even really know me that well, that they come to me and say, "Mention so-and-so," or "Pray for so-and-so." Pray for them. What they're doing is they're specifically stating their dependence and their desire for the Lord to intervene on their behalf. They're not crying for me to intervene. They want me to pray. But who do we depend upon to answer that cry? It is the Lord, because of His goodness that He does answer those. Think of the ones that we've heard here recently. Brother Ben Stiles' grandmother fell and broke bones in her neck. And if you saw her, I saw her this past week, she's bruised all over her face. She looks like she's just, if you allow me to use it, she looks like a train has hit her. She fell so hard on that hospital floor. But look, and now here she is, and Lord willing, in the next few days, she's going to go home. And I want to tell you, whenever you see that sort of intervention in the lives of some of their children, it's not just because of the prayers. It's because of the Lord answering those prayers and because of His goodness unto us as His children. Our Lord is good to us. He's good to us. You know, and you say, "Brother Will, are you saying that we don't need to pray?" You saying that it's no, sir, you need to pray. Because I tell you, the Scripture tells us that because we pray, He does answer. But it is the Lord that raises us up. It is the Lord that answers those prayers. He's the one that is due the praise for doing so, the thanksgiving, the glorification of being the great physician. You know, I'm thankful for doctors. I've got some that I have a lot of confidence in. I do. I feel like whenever I go to them and I got so-and-so going on, and so-and-so this and so-and-so that, I'm thankful that they can be there. I need that piece of paper every once in a while that they write me to get me the medicine that I need. And I'm not one of these that says that you need a piece of paper every time you go, but I've been thankful for some of those pieces of paper whenever I've left there. I'm thankful for some of that relief that I receive from of it. But make no mistake about it, the one that is due the praise is the great physician that is watching over His child here in this world. The prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. Praise ye the Lord, for He is good. He's good to us. You know, whenever you think about trials and temptations here in this world, I tell you what, if there's anything that we've got a lot of in this world, we've got a lot of sickness, and we've got a lot of people going through trials and temptations in this world. Go with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 briefly, and let's look here at the one that supplies the relief from the temptations that you go through. I know this is, I wanted specifically to pinpoint some of these places for the reference of these things. You see, the Lord here is, and through the pen of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, is here to showing us about the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. And how the Lord delivered every one of them out of there that Moses sent to gather. And who Moses was sent to go and bring out. The scripture never speaks of any that were left behind. You know, that's a glorious picture of the deliverance of the Lord Jesus Christ that was sent into this world to deliver His children out of the bondage of sin and out of the captivation of sin that they were in. And He'll leave none of them behind. Every one of them will be delivered from that. But in the midst of seeing that beautiful picture of deliverance and how they were delivered out of that condition that they were in, there's yet still some of them that still do things that are not pleasing unto the Lord. You'll remember it's flooded in the Old Testament of examples of blood-bought, heaven-bound children of God that did not do things that were pleasing unto the Lord. You know, as a matter of fact, the reason why, as you go through those verses early on in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, He gives the specific warnings of the things that they were guilty of falling for. He says in verse 7, "Neither be ye idolaters." You'll remember the idolatry that took place right at the base of Mount Sinai whenever the Lord was giving Moses the law up in the mount. The very idolatry that took place at the base of it. There were the very ones who saw the Red Sea parted in half themselves and that they walked through on dry land. But yet there they made a god that said, and out of the gold and out of their jewelry. And they say, "These be the gods that delivered us out of Egypt." He's warning them not to fall back just as those people fell back. You can go backwards in your service to the Lord. If there's anything that I can remind the children of God today is that you go forward in your service to the Lord and not backwards. These went backwards. "Neither be ye idolaters." Verse 8, "Neither let us commit fornication." Verse 9, "Neither let us tempt Christ." And verse 10, "Neither murmur ye." There's four warnings that the Lord reminded through the pen of the Apostle Paul not to be guilty of, even though you've been delivered from sin, even though the Lord paid for your sins on the cross at Calvary. And whenever you take your last breath here in this world, you'll awake, and even you'll be translated immediately into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But still, even though you are in that condition, even though you are in that state, make no mistake about it, you should remember that you can go backwards out of that state that you're in. You can go backwards. And He tells us, now make no mistake about it, He doesn't say that He is the one that brought these temptations upon the children of Israel. See, a lot of people make that mistake whenever they see these challenges that the children of Israel went through. Is they think that the Lord brought these things on them to teach them things. No, whenever you're tempted with fornication, whenever you're tempted with adultery, don't ask yourself, "Lord, why are you tempting me with adultery and with fornication?" Our Lord is not a tempter with evil things. There's not a verse of scripture in this Bible that would defend such. It's not there. You can hunt it over. You can start in Genesis 1 and you can go to Revelation chapter 22 and you will not find a place where you can charge God with tempting you and having anything to do with adultery and with fornication. It's not there. But praise be unto the Lord that even though we know that our Lord has not caused those things, that we know that sin causes them and that men bring them upon themselves, that we can look down in places like verse 13 where we see how we're supposed to be delivered from such things. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." In other words, every one of these temptations that you can read through up there about murmuring against God, about the temptation of fornication, about the temptation of idolatry, about the temptation of tempting the Lord themselves. There's not one of those things that whenever you're approached with them that any of us should say that we're going through anything that man has not been through himself. Man has been through these things in times past. I guarantee you, that's the reason why the Lord has told us if we were to spend a little bit longer time in James chapter 5, there's a reason why the scripture says to confess your faults one to another. And there's a reason why that's profitable. It's because somebody else has probably been through something, that very thing that you're going through. And they can show you how the Lord delivered them out of such. But He says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Just as the sick is lifted up by the Lord, so are those that are tempted and tried here in this world given a way to escape that temptation by the Lord. You know, look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and see how he dealt with those sort of charges and with that sort of temptation that came upon him. And you've got the way that the Lord has given us to escape such things here in this world. Praise the Lord, for He is good. He's still watching out over us. He's given us these things so that we'll know how to walk with Him here in this world. Praise you, the Lord. He's good to us. You know, He could have done really and truly just like, if you want to know what my thoughts are about our prison system. And, you know, I heard a preacher say one time, don't ever use the terminology chasing a rabbit, but I'm about to chase one clear through the pasture. And if the Lord will be with me, I'll skin him and eat him for supper. I'm about to chase one. But you know, one of my thoughts about our modern day prison system is that in a lot of ways it's too easy. In a lot of ways I wish we'd expand our border into Mexico and build a however many square foot facility we need to down there. And if somebody's guilty of committing a heinous crime, set them right down there in the middle of it and tell you, say, survive on your own. There you go. That's what your punishment is. In other words, there you go. You're left to your own. You didn't want to live right in normal society. Go and make your abode and see if you can make it down there for harming a child or for killing another being. There you go. That's what your punishment is. You know, that's not what the Lord has done here for us. And we're guilty of a crime. We are guilty in the eyes of the Lord, but He's still good to us. He's watching over us. He's given us things here in this world so that we can live here with one another. I tell you, our Lord is good. Praise ye the Lord, for He is good. I tell you another reason why, and I didn't mean to spend that much time on that one, so I don't know how much time it'll take. And you know, if that's the average, about 25 minutes per one. So there you go. We got four of them to go through. But we got another one here that the Scripture says in the next verse, another reason why we should praise the Lord is because of His sovereignty. We should praise the Lord for His sovereignty. We should praise the Lord because of things that He does, not because of any other reason other than the fact that He wanted to do it. It says in verse 4, it says, "For the Lord had chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure." In other words, the Lord made a choice. You and I didn't make a choice. The Lord made a choice. And He made a choice according to His own good pleasure, according to that which He found, according to His own will. He made it for no other purpose other than the fact that He wanted to make a choice. And it said, Scripture says that He had chosen Jacob unto Himself. Another reason why that the Lord is due our praise is because He in His own sovereignty, He in His own pleasure, He in His own will chose those to go to heaven with Him. He made a choice. And it's His choice. It was not based upon our choice. It was not based upon anything that we have done. It was based upon His choice. Go with me. And you say, Brother Will, you usually don't go to these many proof texts, but there's a reason why I'm going this morning. It's because I feel like I need to. Go with me over to Ephesians chapter 1. And we see here where the Apostle Paul makes specific mention about these choices that were made according to God's sovereignty, according to God's own will. You know, if we see here in verse 3, that Paul is reminding the church at Ephesus to do just as we're doing here today in this same very subject. Because he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that "blessed be" does not mean that the Lord needs our blessings. It means "praise be unto the Lord, the Father of our Lord Jesus." Praise be unto God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now I know there are times here at the church where we tell and make specific mention that heavenly places are not just talking about eternity. The Scripture will tell us that a heavenly place, we've got some heavenly places here in this world. You know, we speak of the Lord's use of the term kingdom of heaven. And we see that the Lord's given us heavenly experiences as He explains those terms to us during His own ministry that are here in this time life. But it's very important that whenever we understand that there are places of Scripture that describe unto us that that we're enjoying or that we have something here in this world that's heavenly, that at times whenever the Scriptures are talking about eternal heaven, that we're careful to acknowledge that in this place it's not talking about here in this time world. It's talking about eternal heaven. Look over with me in verse 20 of the same chapter. If we're going to use the Bible to be our best dictionary, let's use it right here in the same context. where he says in verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. If you're going to define and give a definition to the heavenly place in verse 3, use the same heavenly place that's listed in the same chapter. And where is our Lord today? He's in eternal and immortal glory. He's in heaven above. This is not talking about earthly things. This is talking about a praise that is due unto God that has given us all things, given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He gave us something that is a home in eternal glory in Christ Jesus. And how did He give it to us? Verse 4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. How did the Lord make this? How did he do this? How did He give us this eternal blessing, this heavenly place that He's given unto us freely and not of anything of our own? He did it by His own choice in choosing us, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I tell you another reason why that the Lord is due our praise is because the Lord is sovereign and He made a choice to love sinners. You know, whenever we're able to see ourselves for who we are, that truth will mean a lot more to us whenever we see ourselves for who we are as opposed to looking at ourselves for who we think we are and who the world will tell us that we are. This world will lift you up. It'll tell you about how good you are. It'll tell you about how there's a little bit of good in everybody. How every man has got a little bit of good in him. But I tell you, these scriptures will tell us something different about man. And that is that there's nothing good about man. That everything about man is backward and wayward. Ever since our forefather Adam committed that sin in the garden and sent the transgression upon mankind himself, everything has been backwards. Everything has been bad. But praise be unto the Lord that He chose us in spite of that. That's what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is. And that's the reason why He's due our praise, is because He chose us in spite of who we are. I tell you, He's due our praise. You know, whenever we see this language that's given here in Ephesians chapter 1, I like what Brother Ricky Harcrow says. Somebody's got to tell you what this doesn't mean in order for you not to see clearly what it is teaching us here in these verses. The Lord made a choice. You know, in spite of that, you know, some people believe that heaven is granted because of a choice that we make. I'd venture to tell you that choices that we make are work. It's a work to make a choice. And I love to use this example. And if you'd have been in the car with me this morning, you'd believe it matched it perfectly. We pulled through the drive-thru at McDonald's over at before we got on I-985. Yeah. It took us, I counted it in my head, it took us about a minute and a half, minute 45 seconds to give an order. You know, the guy came across there and I said, you better hang out a minute because we got some work to do here in the car. We got some choices that are fixing to be made. As we went through the whole back end of the car and they all made a choice about what they wanted for breakfast that morning. And let me tell you something, if it wasn't work on them, it was work on me because I like to get in there and get out and get on the road, especially when I know I'm headed to church. It was grief and it took effort, it took work in order to make that choice just for breakfast. Not to mention the fact that choice that people believe that they make for eternal glory. Don't come and tell me that it doesn't take work, that it doesn't take energy. There's not a definition of work that you can find in any dictionary that doesn't say change in energy. Work equals delta E. It is a change in energy. It's an expansion of some type of effort on your part. And if you believe that heaven is by work, then you keep right on along that path. But heaven is not by our works. It's by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by a choice that He made according to His own sovereign will. And we ought to praise Him for it. Praise the Lord because He's sovereign. Because He made a choice to love Jacob and to hate Esau. He made a choice to love Jacob. He made a choice to love that one that was one that dwelt with his, that was a mama's boy, that dwelt there and that went in wildly and took his and received the blessings from his father. He chose to love him. I tell you, it's not about why He didn't choose to love Esau. It's why He chose to love Jacob, and why I believe I have a hope in my heart that He loves me, that drives me to His praise. Why is it that somebody would even try to get up on a Sunday morning and drive across town to go to church? Because I want to praise the Lord because He's sovereign, and I believe He made a choice to love this old sinner that's standing before you. I believe that's the reason why we praise the Lord. We praise Him because He's good. We praise Him because He's sovereign. You know, we could go on in that same verse of Scripture and show that the Lord not only chose Jacob, He chose Israel for His peculiar treasure. In other words, he chose the children of Israel to grant his earthly kingdom here. He made a choice for them. And he reminds them again before he sends them into Canaan land, that it was not by their righteousness, but it was because of the wickedness of the kingdoms that dwelt there that he gave them that peculiar treasure. I tell you another reason why that we ought to praise the Lord is because of his power. We ought to praise him because of his goodness. We ought to praise him because of his sovereignty. And we ought to praise him because of his power and how powerful he is. You know, we see that there are different subjects listed here that the Lord has power over. He has power over, according to verse 5, he has power over all the gods. All the gods. It says, I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. And you say, Brother Will, now we only believe that there's one true and living God. It's in our articles of faith. Amen. That there's only one true and living God. And I would say amen. But in the context of what he's talking about is that man creates unto himself a lot of small gods. And make no mistake about it, it doesn't matter how much popularity a man may find behind himself and may gather behind him as he goes through this world. It doesn't matter how much power something has here in this world. It doesn't matter how many people make money their God and how many followers money has. It makes no difference whatsoever. Whatever you're talking about that people can make a God out of, it does not matter. Our Lord is more powerful than that God. He's more powerful than that God. You know, if you'll remember back in the days before the Lord delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, of course, that came right on the heels of the plagues that he sent unto that country. And if you go back and you read through those plagues and you see the things of the changing of the Nile River into blood and of the frogs and of the lice and of the flies and of the baal and of the bulls, you name it, the darkness, so on and so forth. What you'll see if you go back in this, I've got some specific places, references of history, if you're interested in it, and I can give them to you because I believe they're accurate. Every single one of those plagues triumphed over an Egyptian god that those people worshipped back then. The Lord, right there in their face, showed them how much more powerful he was than any god that they could create. Even Jethro himself, Moses' father-in-law, speaks in Exodus chapter 19, and he says, Even now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. For the things wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. Jethro recognized that the Lord did that right in the face of those Egyptians to show, I am more powerful than any god that you can create. He's also got power over nature. It says down in verse 7, it says, he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. Our Lord is not only more powerful than any god that man can make, he's got power over the very nature itself. He's worthy of our praise because he's got power over nature. You know, why is it whenever we're in the midst of a drought and we stand in need of rain, that we come and we gather and we pray for the Lord to send us the rain? It's because we believe that he's got power over that rain, that he can do it, that he can send us those things. Look at not only the power in being able to send it, look at the power in being able to there's a word I'm looking for that won't come to the front of my mind right now. But whenever you see terms like he maketh lightnings for the rain, you know, lightning is a burst of energy that's basically fire. And so you have fire and you have water, and they work together in unison in a storm. How does the fire not extinguish the water? How does the water not extinguish the fire? Both of those things are able. It's because the Lord has power over those things. And you know, not only do you see here over the very natural definitions of these items that are listed in this verse, but you can spiritualize these things and show how throughout the Bible, rain is given as a blessing of the Lord in the form of the gospel. Here in the New Testament age. And we can see how if you've got rain and you've got the gospel, then you've got lightning, then you've got light upon the doctrine of the gospel. The Lord gives the light to give us the ability to be able to see the truth. You've got him here that bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. We've got the Of course, the verse of Scripture in John chapter 3 that tells us the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Our Lord is due our praise because He has power over these things. He's a powerful God. Not only does He have power over the gods of this world and over nature, He's got powerful over the kings of this world. He's got more power than any king can ever come up with and can generate. He goes through the list of the kings that He overcame, and I'm having to go through this kind of quickly. Stay with me. You know, stay with me for just a few more minutes as we go through these kings right here. And I'm not going to mention them specifically, but as you can see, that the Lord has power over the gods. The Lord has power over nature. The Lord has power to overcome kings that believe that they've reached a pinnacle strength, that they cannot be overcome by anything. And I'd venture to tell you today that if you don't think that we don't live in a time where people think that they can make decisions and choices and that they have no consequences for it and that they're the most supreme authority, we're living in it now. But praise be unto the Lord that the Lord can manifest His power through overcoming kings that believe that they're the strongest people here in this world. You know, you see examples of Pharaoh, as I just gave you. There wasn't a more powerful man around by the time that the Lord had tempered him and made him hardened up as he was. Whenever the Lord overcame him, the Lord overcame Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord overcame Herod in Acts chapter 12. Whenever the Scripture says that whenever he spoke, that those people gave him credit as having the voice of a God. The Scripture says that the angel of the Lord smote him for such things. We serve a God that is worthy of our praise because He's more powerful than any king that can live here in this world. You know, believing in that this morning gives me comfort that the Lord can still manifest His power by overcoming kings. Because I want to tell you, I believe that until it's done, that it's our responsibility to give them the respect that's due. But I want to tell you, I believe it with every ounce of my being that those that believe that they can do and make decisions and base it upon their popularity and base it upon their following are sadly mistaken, because we serve a God that sees it and that whenever it's done, He's not pleased with it. He's not pleased with it. I don't care that if a judge believes that they're the highest rule of authority in this world and they can make a judgment and say that a man can marry a man, and they think that their rule is the supreme authority, guess what? I got news for you. There's another authority that's higher than you. Whenever a judge brings forth a ruling and saying that a child is not a child until it's received out of the womb of its mother, I got news for you. This book teaches us differently. And just because a judge rules that that's not a child whenever their life is taken and it's murder in the eyes of God, there's a judge that sits higher than them. And there's one that's higher than them. Our Lord deserves our praise because of His power. He deserves our praise because of His goodness, because of His sovereignty, and because of His power. And lastly, the Lord is due our praise because of His judgment. He says in the last verse of Scripture that I read to you, "For the Lord will judge His people, and He will repent Himself concerning His servants." He will repent Himself concerning His servants. You know, whenever I think about the Lord's judgment, I look back on things that I've gone through. And it's certainly not pleasant in the midst of it. But after you're on the other side of it and you look back and you saw that it was the Lord correcting you, aren't you thankful for that correction that he gave you? I want to praise Him for the times He's corrected me. I believe I know I've made reference probably one too many times on the drive over this morning, but if my experiences in this life can be of benefit to anybody, I ain't afraid to share them. And, you know, as we drove through Gwinnett County today, and I'm not talking ugly about a place. If people want to live there, that's fine. But as I drive through it, the only thing I can remember is I lived here. And Lord, if the Lord be with me not much longer, I won't own a thing over there in that county. But as I drive through it, the only thing I can think about is while I was here, I knew I wasn't supposed to be here. I made my abode here trying to do things my own way. And there's not a time that I can't drive back through it that I ain't like the children of Israel chewing on that quail because they murmured against the Lord that they didn't get to eat meat. I feel like I'm chewing on a quail and that I've had my fill of it and that I don't want another piece of quail whenever I drive through it. Because you don't know why? And it's not, again, it's not because there aren't fine folks over there. There's old Baptist folks that dwell over there, and that's more, Lord bless them. But I knew it wasn't where I was supposed to be. The Lord had called me into something else, but I want to go and do it my own way. And I tell you, the Lord, He judged me. He brought forth judgment in it. But you know, in the midst of it, and it wasn't pleasant in the midst of it, but as I look back on it, I want to thank the Lord for not just leaving me. See, because He could have left me. He could have just left me there, and He wouldn't have been unjust in doing it. He wouldn't have been wrong in doing it. By His own choice, He could have done it. He could have left me there. Could have left me there to keep spinning my wheels and sinking just like I was doing in about everything I was trying to get involved in over there. Could have done it. But instead, He chastened me and corrected me. And as I look back on it, I want to praise Him for looking after me. I want to praise Him for making it right. I want to praise Him for guiding me the way that He has. You know, whenever you think about that, there's that way to look at it on an individual basis. And you also can look at it upon a grand scheme. It says here, praise the Lord, and it says He will repent Himself concerning His servants. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, whenever we see repentance, it doesn't mean that He's turning from wrong to right. It means that He's turning and changing from one course of action to another. If you'll remember through the book of Jonah, whenever the scripture says that the inhabitants of Nineveh repented, the scripture says that they listened to the preaching of Jonah. The scripture says that the Lord repented from the action that He was going to bring forth to them. He was going to destroy their city, but because they repented, because they changed courses, the Lord changed the course and did not destroy them as He said He would. Well, I tell you, there's promises given that don't look so promising, if you will, for a lot of the circumstances on the community level and on a lot of levels where we live. But the Scripture says here that He will repent Himself concerning His servants. In other words, if His servants, going all the way back to where I started, His servants, the ones that are standing in His house, the ones that are in His courts, will do as they're supposed to do. The Scripture says that the Lord will alter His judgment based upon what they did. I believe that. I believe that if the remnant will be faithful, I believe that there's some things, other things that'll change. And I believe that our Lord is worthy of His praise for all of these things, for His goodness, for His sovereignty, for His power, and for His judgment. God is due our praise. May the Lord bless us to give it to Him. I thank you for your time, sweetie. Come on.
The Lord has been so good to me. I want to sing. Amen.